ATC is go.
Thank you, boost is go.
ATC is go.
Copy, us is go.
Houston flight is go.
Pilot go.
STM is go.
Safety cost is go.
STU is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDR is go.
Launch director, NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Brightside Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So, buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, and Diane Sorey right over there at the Patriot Factor. Tuesday night edition of the show, December 8th, and welcome to it. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Craig. What a day it has been.
You know, I spent several hours today monitoring the SpaceX deal. They were supposed to launch the Starship today on a 7.8-mile vertical trajectory and all this stuff. But, you know, SpaceX are kind of secretive about this one. So they didn't actually put out a time for the launch. It was just going to be sometime this afternoon. So periodically I would check in and check back, and I kept doing that until all of a sudden things started to happen. They loaded the fuel on board, and the thing was venting, and the high-altitude chase plane was in the area, so, you know, tension was building, and everybody knew this was going to be it. And they get to the countdown portion of it, and it's 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, nothing.
I know, we don't like to see that kind of stuff.
I mean, holy crap. It just sat there on the launch pad making weird noises. And about 5 minutes later, somebody comes on and says, there's been some obvious anomaly. Well, no kidding, Sherlock.
Yeah.
Apparently what happened was one of the Raptor engines on the thing had some sort of a glitch, and because one has a glitch, the other two won't light, and which is good. Otherwise, who knows where the thing would go. And so the whole thing got shut down. They're going to try it again tomorrow.
Okay.
I don't know if I want to spend several more hours monitoring SpaceX tomorrow.
Well, I bet it's human error.
I think it's more of a technical thing. Either that or the guy with the Bic lighter that's supposed to light the fuse took the day off today and didn't tell anybody.
Could be.
But, you know, you're sitting there, you're ready. It's 5 seconds, 4 seconds, 3, 2, 1, and then nothing. It just sat there. Oh, well. Maybe tomorrow they'll get the thing off the ground. It's a high-altitude test is what it is. And it's got some directional fins on it. So once it gets to the altitude, if it gets to the altitude it's supposed to, then those fins take over, and it's supposed to do a belly flop landing in the ocean. They're going to launch this thing out of Texas.
Right.
So, oh, and the best part of it today, about, I want to say about an hour and a half before the launch, but nobody knew when the launch was going to be, right?
Right.
There was speculation that the whole thing could get delayed because of a pirate ship.
Okay.
Now, I know, folks, you think I'm making this up, but no. Somebody out there in this bay, right down there around Corpus Christi, had a big replica pirate ship that they were sailing through the area. And the people doing the live feed are like, if this thing gets canceled because of a pirate ship, nobody's going to believe it.
Nah, I think it's either human or technical error that caused it.
Yeah, it's a mechanical or technical malfunction of some sort.
Somebody forgot to pull a switch.
Push a lever.
Press a button.
Something.
Yeah.
But they'll give it another shot tomorrow. Okay, folks, so here's what we're doing tonight. An abbreviated show, 1 hour of Right Side Patriots tonight. And Diane, there's a good reason for that.
Yeah, a lot of breaking things have happened today, including the SCOTUS denying the Pennsylvania petition by Representative Mike Kelly to have the Pennsylvania election results not certified. And that was denied. And we're going to be doing Friday's show on that, on what's going to be happening now in Texas. They are going to take up the Texas case because it involves four states. However, there's no mention in that case of the fraud that's been perpetrated. So, in other words, the Democrats, you know, are going to get away with that no matter what the outcome of the case is. And also on Friday will be COVID, COVID, COVID. It's like we can't get away from it.
We're in an endless loop on these two stories.
Yeah. I mean, the election report to me is very important because America's future depends on it. But with what I saw today at the COVID summit where President Trump spoke, I'm beyond angry.
We're going to get into that a little bit later. Don't give that away yet.
Okay.
Yeah. Trust me, folks, you don't want to miss this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Diane told me about it earlier and I'm like, what? And
yeah.
I couldn't believe what I said. You got to say that again. And so she did. And I thought, Are you kidding me? And
no.
So then after we got done talking, I went and looked for myself because I thought, I got to see this with, I mean, not that I didn't believe Diane, but I thought, I got to see this. And sure enough, we'll get into that in a little bit. But let's start tonight with some quick hitters because there have been some odd things going on, including Dominion taking over the Georgia voting machines remotely.
Right. Via the internet, something they said they actually were not connected to. Well, guess what? They lied.
I'm shocked.
Aren't you, though?
I am absolutely shocked.
Yep.
Apparently, the Dominion vote counting machines that are not connected to the internet were connected to the internet, and workers in Georgia actually took over the voting machines remotely.
Yes. And right then and there, when you have something like that in a state that's already seeing its voting contested, and here it is, you have the proof, and they do have the proof of this, folks. Why this election is not overturned is beyond me, because now you have to suspect that every state that used Dominion, whether they went for Trump or went for Biden, every state's tally there cannot be trusted.
It's highly
and
suspect.
And I guarantee you, in 99.9% of the cases, the states that Trump did win in, he would have won by even more they just couldn't pull it off completely in all the states.
Now, it gets even more interesting because, as I mentioned last week in an article, Colonel Phil Waldron, he's a internet and internet warfare specialist.
Mm-hmm.
He's a retired colonel. Rudy Giuliani had him as a star witness about a week and a half ago at one of these legislative hearings, right? And mm-hmm. he told them, point blank, these things are connected to the internet. Well, Dominion says they're not. Well, they are, and he told them so. Well, now it turns out that Dominion was not only accessible on the internet, it was accessible to indivisible organizers. Now, in case you don't know who or what indivisible organizers is, that's an Obama group that endorsed Joe Biden.
Right, and to go even further, the colonel also said not only do they have access to points on the internet, but the machines are directly connected to the internet. In fact, the Dominion user manual instructs how to do so.
It's not a glitch. It's a feature.
Right. Exactly. But hey, there's no fraud going on here.
Move along, folks. Move along. Yeah. Nothing to see here. Yeah. I mean, this is bad because Michael Steele, he's the blabbermouth for Dominion. He swore up and down, oh, no, these things are not connected to the internet. Oh, yes, they are.
You know what it basically means, folks? That anyone with enough computer savvy or have help could probably get into those machines right from your home computer.
Given enough time, mm-hmm. even idiots like myself and Diane could have gotten in.
I would have gotten before you.
Yeah, well, you would have crashed the whole thing because you just start pushing buttons.
No, but I would have gotten in before you, and you know it.
We know. We know how you are with computers. That's why they won't let her on the space station,
hey,
folks.
I'm better on them than you.
The Republicans on the inaugural committee, they found a backbone.
Yeah, but it's something kind of now that's a mute point, and it has to do, they will not formally acknowledge Biden as president-elect. They're waiting for everything to go through before they even do anything involving the inauguration committee.
Kind of a ceremonial stand, I guess, for lack mm-hmm. of a better term. It doesn't really mean much, but mm-hmm. at least they came out and said it, you know. It's interesting in a way because it's the first time we've heard from members of Congress in any kind of official or even pseudo-official capacity regarding this.
Right. Right. And listen to who's on this committee, folks. Nancy Pelosi, a House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer, and Senator Amy Klobuchar. And the three Republicans are House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, and Senator Roy Blunt. So they're kind of like deadlocked here.
Yeah, 3-3 tie. So, you know, it. Like I said, it doesn't really mean much. But
no, nothing,
you know,
gets done.
Nothing happens. Yeah, nothing happens for now. So it's just kind of an interesting thing that they did this because they're taking a stand.
Well,
you know, they're
three
not
of
just,
them
they're,
are.
Yeah, three of them are. Well, you didn't expect the liberals to, did you?
No, of course not.
Of course not. But, you know, the three Republicans, they're saying, no, we're not convinced this thing is what you say it is, and we're not going to pretend that it's over until it's over.
Right. So. Right. And, hey, all our hopes now are pinned on Texas.
Come on, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Hard for me to root for Texas. I mean, I love, you know, Texas is a great state, great political state. It's just some sports rivalries between my state and their state makes it hard for me to root for them. But come on, Texas! Nonetheless, a federal judge has finally, I don't know what took so long, maybe you do, Diane, finally dismissed the case against Michael Flynn.
Gee, you wonder why? You think maybe he's a Democrat?
Well, he is.
He is a Democrat. In fact, he's a Clinton appointee.
Yeah, Judge Emmett Sullivan from the U.S. District Court. He's the one that kept that case going and going and going and going, right. Even when everybody and everybody's dog's uncle knew there was absolutely no valid evidence against Michael Flynn. Folks, you'll remember that President Trump pardoned Michael Flynn. I think it was last month. And finally, this judge, Emmett Sullivan, says, okay, it's over.
Well, he didn't quite say that. He wrote a 43-page memorandum. You know how Democrats love to bloviate. And he actually said the dismissal was due to Trump's pardon, not the DOJ's motion earlier this year that they wanted the dismissal based on findings of how Flynn's case was treated by the FBI. Basically, in other words, all right, Trump pardoned him. I have to dismiss it. But he's not dismissing it based on the fact that Flynn was guilty of nothing.
Well, exactly. And he says, well, you know, Flynn did lie to the FBI. Yeah.
He was forced to.
Exactly. And so when you find out why, and we all know why, okay, that really should take that off the table. But not to this judge. Oh, no. Oh, no.
No, a diehard Democrat right till the very end.
Yep. I mean, it's crazy. He said rationales for dismissal were dubious, to say the least. No, they weren't.
Mm-hmm. No, they wouldn't. No,
I mean,
they weren't.
The Justice Department in May comes out and says, there's no case here, period.
Right. In fact, you remember President Trump actually said he never should have been prosecuted to begin with.
Well, he shouldn't have been. This
whole case was a joke.
It was from the get-go.
It
was just another one of those fraudulent investigations cooked up by the liberals.
It was just a way to try and get Trump fed into by the FBI. Right.
Absolutely. The swamp, the FBI swamp, part and parcel of it. I mean, this went right along with the Russian election interference that never happened. It was never an issue. I mean, it was the Russian collusion thing that was never an issue, never real. And this was part of that.
Well, what's bad is, of course, you know, Pelosi had to speak up about, you know, the pardon when she called President Trump's pardon of Flynn an act of grave corruption and a brazen abuse of power. This from the woman whose party is stealing an election.
Yeah.
You know, the Democrats should be known as the hypocrite party.
What kind of a mascot do you get for that?
A donkey's ass, I guess. I don't know.
So Pelosi.
Pelosi. Pelosi needs to just go away. An 80-year-old woman who has made a career out of politics. It's time for her to retire.
It most certainly is. You'll get no argument from anybody listening to this show except the liberals. And we know you're out there, liberals. We know you listen.
Yeah.
You know, but finally, the case against Michael Flynn has been officially dismissed.
Right. And
that's good news. He's a good man. You know, Flynn's a good man, and none of this should have ever happened. Nobody should be treated the way he was, especially by the U.S. government, and it's good that this is finally over.
Yes, it is.
And finally, in the quick hitters tonight, you knew it was coming, folks. You knew it was coming. Somebody has been victimized by somebody else's Christmas lights.
Yeah, it's happening. I believe it's in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, folks, first you have to understand that this is a two-story house. It's not a big house. It's a small house with a garage. And all they have is a string, one string, of Christmas lights going across the front of the house, and on the second story is a wreath. This is the entire display. Okay, that's all it is. One string and a wreath that lights up. Okay, and this is the most absolutely ridiculous bunch of BS I have ever heard. This is what the neighbor wrote in. I couldn't help but notice your Christmas light display. During these unprecedented times, we have all experienced challenges which casual words just don't describe what we're feeling. The idea of twinkling colorful lights are a reminder of divisions that continue to run through our society, a reminder of systemic biases against our neighbors who don't celebrate Christmas or who just can't afford to put lights up on their own. That is it. I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous. One little puny string of lights and a wreath.
That's it. That's all that was on the house. Now, that letter was shared by Crime Watch in Minneapolis, and it went on to say, quote, "We must do the work of educating ourselves about the harmful impact an outward-facing display like yours can have," unquote.
Well,
see, what you got here, folks, is you got a liberal that thinks everybody has to be a victim of something.
Right. Right. And what he said, whoever wrote this letter, and it seems pretty much like it's a man, was that he wanted respect the dignity of all people while striving to learn from differences, ideas, and opinions of our neighbors. We must come together collectively and challenge these institutional inequities. At St. Anthony, that's the town in Minnesota, is a community welcoming of all people, and we must demand better for ourselves. Craig, I never knew that a string of Christmas lights and a wreath reeks of inequities.
Well, apparently so. I mean, it's eluded me all these years. I feel ashamed to admit it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, twinkling lights. Oh, my God. You know. But when this person says, respect the dignity of all people while striving to learn from differences, ideas, and opinions of our neighbors. What about the people who are pretending, because they are pretending, mm-hmm. to be offended by the Christmas lights? Okay, why don't they respect the dignity of the people that put the Christmas lights up? Why don't they respect their ideas and their opinions?
Because the people who put them up probably voted for Trump, and the people demanding it come down voted for Biden.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Now, the family that put them up, the lady that lives there, she said, "The lights give me joy after coming home from work as a nurse working with COVID. I wish we could all celebrate diversity and honor everyone's traditions." She said, these times we live in are so divisive that it's a sad statement that Christmas lights have to be a target. She is 100% right.
Correct. Absolutely. And you know what? I'm sick of diversity. We're supposed to be Americans. We're not hyphenated Americans, Black Americans, this American, that American, Mexican Americans, whatever Americans you want to say. That's wrong. That's divisive. We're all Americans. No hyphen. And why don't you complain about that? Why are you complaining about a string of lights?
You know, I'll tell you something. If I was the lady whose house those lights are on,
I'd put more.
I'd turn my house into a Clark Griswold showcase.
Yeah.
I would light my house up so it could be seen from space.
Absolutely. I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous. You could pretty much guess that the person who complained is not a Christian.
Well, yeah.
Okay, that's kind of pretty obvious.
But honestly, you know, it shouldn't make any difference. I mean, look, if you don't celebrate Christmas, if you're of a faith that doesn't celebrate Christmas, so what? Other people do celebrate it. You don't have to.
Right.
They want to. Let them do what they feel is right for them. You do what you feel is right for you. But don't go pretending that everybody has to be a victim. You see, because right. Other people can't afford the lights, or maybe other people don't have the lights, or they don't have the ability to
wait
put
a minute,
lights up.
Wait
you
a minute,
shouldn't
wait a minute.
Either.
A string of lights in Walgreens costs $3.99.
I understand.
You know,
I understand, but I mean,
they say they can't afford the lights, but they got their TV dishes hanging out their windows and their, you know, $100 sneakers and this and that. They can't afford the lights.
I get it. I understand. I know what you're saying is right. I'm just putting myself in the mentality, and to do this, I have to bury my head so far up my keister. If I sneeze, I'll blow my socks off. But
Here's
the thing. You see, they figure, well, if that person over there on that side of the street, if they don't have any lights on their house, you shouldn't have any lights on your house either. Maybe that person across the street can't afford the $3.95 it takes to go to Walgreens and buy a set of lights, so you shouldn't put yours up either. But if you're going to put yours up, then you should supply lights and pay the light bill for everybody up and down the street. I mean, this is the kind of crap that socialism breeds.
Exactly. This is the gimme, gimme, you owe me mentality. I can't do it. So if I can't do it, you can't do it unless you give me the money to do what you're doing.
You know, maybe these people that have this, and I would call it, honestly, one of the most modest Christmas light displays I've ever seen in my life.
I know, it's nothing.
Okay? If maybe these people, what they should do is get some outdoor speakers and start blaring Christmas music.
Yeah.
Okay. And then when the neighbor comes over and goes, well, you're not being very inclusive, they can say, well, I most certainly am. You see,
yeah,
my Christmas songs say, now we don our gay apparel.
I mean, guys, if you could see this house, it's a very modest house, and it has a simple string of lights just going across the front with a wreath.
That's it.
I mean, I love Christmas time, going around and seeing all the decorations and all the
lights.
For as long as you're out there looking at them, it makes you forget all the BS that's going on.
You know, my wife and I were on a little road trip yesterday, and we drove through, I couldn't even tell you how many small towns, okay? And all the way there and all the way back, going through all these small towns, every one of these small towns, this is up in South Dakota and even here in Nebraska, all the towns, the light poles have Christmas decorations mm-hmm. hanging on them up and down the street, you know, and the downtown area of these little towns is You know, I'll bet you at night, because we did it during the daytime, I'll bet you at night it is stunningly gorgeous. And whoever wrote this letter would probably be in a coma if they came out here to this part of the country and drove around and looked at all the lights.
I have a feeling they're just doing it to be a pain in the ass.
Well, they've succeeded.
Yeah.
In fact, they have exceeded my expectation of being a pain in the ass. They are a bona fide pain in the ass.
They are.
Get some more Christmas lights, folks. Put them up, blare some music, and really give them something to talk about. That's our advice. All right, so we've gotten to the bottom of the hour here. One more segment to go, and we're going to tell you what went on at the COVID conference here after just a couple of minutes. You do not want to miss this. Stay with us. More Right Side Patriots after this.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sori from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out the National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on rspradio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sori at the Patriot Factor, getting you through a Tuesday evening, December 8th. Welcome to it. And folks, if you haven't been over to rspradio1.com, what are you waiting for? Get on over there and check it out. We got fresh stuff up there every day but Sunday.
Right. It's a good-looking site, folks.
And it's full of lots of information.
Yes. In all different fields.
Even political humor.
Mm-hmm.
We even have a cartoon page in there. If you want to see the best in conservative political humor, that's where you go.
Yeah, and I love some of the jabs at Uncle Joe.
They are kind of fun. Mm-hmm. And folks, feel free to copy and paste those anywhere you want. You know, we find them in various places. We bring them to you. What happens to them then? That's up to you. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Also, if you miss any part of the show, again, go to rspradio1, that's the number 1.com, click on the podcast button, and there we are. We'll have this show up tomorrow morning, and all of our shows are there, so you can take your pick. So it's real easy to do. All right. There was a COVID conference, Diane.
Yes.
And the oddest thing happened.
Mm-hmm.
Tell people about it.
I'm sitting there watching it, and President Trump is speaking, and he's talking about how he's going to put Americans first, make sure that all Americans are taken care of with the vaccine before he starts worrying about the world. In other words, America first, which is a great thing. And he's, you know, talking about all this. He's giving credit to the pharmaceutical companies, to the first responders. You know, he's generalizing the whole COVID situation. And then I noticed something. Here it is. You have all the media and the top experts in the field, and they're all in the audience. And occasionally the cameras would pan to the audience. Now, while everybody, or I should say most everybody, was wearing masks, what I noticed right off the bat is here are the experts that are talking about masks and social distancing. There was no social distancing, folks.
They're all sitting right there together.
Together, packed in the room, together, with their masks, no gloves, just the masks. And these are the leading experts who are telling you that you need to social distance.
Diane told me about this early this afternoon, and I'm like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Say that again. And so she did, and I thought, no. Went and looked, yeah. Mm-hmm. there they all were. First thing that occurred to me was, follow the science.
Well, first thing that occurred to me is hypocrites. And again, it brought me back to the fact that here it is. They're all touting this vaccine. And remember, President Trump doesn't have medical knowledge. He's relying on these people to give him the knowledge he needs to present everything to everybody. And it really struck me that nowhere in here was the fact that most vaccines take between 2 to 20 years to make it to market, because they have to run through countless tests to make sure that they're safe and effective. There was no mention that this year's COVID vaccine might actually be no good by next fall, because viruses do tend to morph every year, just like the flu. And nowhere in this little gathering was it mentioned that the vaccine is not a vaccine, folks. It's two vaccines, each given about a month apart. You get mild protection with the first vaccine. You get upwards of 95% protection in the second vaccine. However, today, he said that it might not get to the general public until May or June of this year. Now, people also have to understand that with a vaccine, let's say you're one of the people that get it in June. You need X number of weeks for the protection to kick in, meaning your protection will kick in at the height of the summer when the virus normally wanes down because it doesn't like the heat. So is the vaccine protecting you, or is the natural waning down of the virus in those months protecting you? Then you also have to realize the fact, okay, I got this vaccine in May or June. Now we're back into the fall, the cold weather. Oh, the great COVIDs are going to come attack us again. Oh, wait, I got last year's vaccine. Can I have these many vaccines close together? Will last year's protect me from this year's strain? I mean, they didn't really think this through. And again, I always go back to my fact. You don't need a vaccine, you need an antidote. So if people get it, they get a shot, sort of like what happens with a snake bite, and you're, quote, cured. Now, that's what's needed.
Now, Robert Kennedy Jr. came out yesterday and said, don't go anywhere near that vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as hard as it is for me to agree with a Kennedy, You gotta you look at that and go, well, I guess on this, he's right. Now, people in England have already started getting the vaccine. Trump says it's going to be available here probably next week. But of course, the first responders.
For nursing homes and first responders, not for the general public.
That's what I said. And, you know, the general public probably won't get it until April, maybe March. But,
well, today he said May and June.
Okay. The question is, as Diane aptly pointed out, is this going to be any good? You know, I don't know that the vaccine's going to kill anybody, but then again, I'm not really convinced that the disease is killing that many people. I mean, you've got a 99.7% chance of surviving if you get the disease.
Right. Also, there will be deaths from the vaccine. Don't think there won't be, folks, because every vaccine comes with risks, and you never know if you are allergic to a component in a vaccine. So there will be a certain number of as expected deaths. But the main point is, and that might not be a high number, but there will be some. But the main thing to understand is this year's vaccine is only against COVID-19. What happens if over the summer and into the fall, COVID-19 morphs into COVID-20? You're not going to have any protection at all. In fact, your immune system is going to be more compromised and more susceptible to the newer strain.
It doesn't really, I mean, when you really look at how vaccines work, I'm not talking just about this one, mm-hmm. but the flu vaccine, any of these, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you look at how most vaccines work, you kind of wonder why. Why bother?
This is a different kind of disease, let's say, than polio or smallpox, okay, which didn't have all these different strains coming off of it.
Exactly. That's why I say most viruses act a certain way. Like you said, they morph, they change,
right.
They alter themselves.
Right.
You know, and you know, you take a vaccine for flu A, you catch flu B.
Right.
You know, so why bother?
I'm for one, am not taking this vaccine. First of all, it hasn't been tested enough. It's on the market within months. That's not real quality testing of something. I'm not going to put I'd rather take my chances against the virus than I would putting this live vaccine, folks, into me. This is not a killed vaccine. This is a live vaccine. And the side effects are the first shot, very, very mild, if any. The second shot, you feel like crap for a couple of days, folks. Achy joints, splitting headaches is what the people are saying. Upset stomachs. In other words, you're basically getting a very, 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 very mild case of it. Well, this is untested. What, a handful, a couple of thousand people volunteered for it? And they're all saying they got a certain amount of side effects? I mean, it's a good thing to give the vaccine to the high-risk people, because them taking a chance against this virus is pretty damn serious. And also the first responders. But for the general public, why are they so afraid of allowing herd immunity to build up? I'll tell you why. Because if you allow herd immunity to build up, COVID-19 as a political weapon disappears.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And like I said before, you got a 99.7% chance of surviving the disease. The vaccine is 95% effective. So
right.
With the vaccine, you've got a higher chance of getting the disease than you actually have of dying of the disease.
Right. Just doesn't make any sense. But in a way, President Trump was forced into this by erroneous information. And also by the traitor Fauci, who has accepted a head post, chief medical, whatever, in a Biden administration. I mean, come on, folks. He is basically ground zero of this whole scare tactic.
It's crazy.
This whole weaponization, this politicizing of a virus. You don't see Europe and the other countries affected turning it into a political weapon, really, do you?
No.
No.
No, you don't. And you got Pelosi and now crazy Bernie Sanders both came out in the last 2 weeks and admitted that the holdup on COVID relief package from Congress was Trump. You know, now that Biden is the quote unquote, use your air quotes, presumptive president-elect, well, now they're fine with doing a COVID relief package. However, you're not going to get a check, folks. Don't think you're getting money.
Oh, no, it's not going to we, the people, the money. Yeah, no.
Not getting the money. But they admit that they wouldn't do it before because Trump might still be the president.
Right.
So there you go. It's political.
Right. And it's...
Now, this whole thing, you know, like I said, follow the science, right? The science says social distancing really it doesn't serve much of a purpose.
No.
Yeah, that's what the science says. So when you see video of this conference where Trump was speaking that Diane was telling you about, and you see everybody sitting side by side, shoulder to shoulder, follow the science.
Yeah.
This social distancing thing, that's a fluffy feel-good thing. Doesn't really mean anything. It's supposed to create the illusion that you're doing something to prevent
COVID. So are masks. Masks really don't do anything, folks, because unless you're fortunate enough to get the N95, the real mask, the kind that the surgeons and the first responders and all of them use, if you're fortunate enough to get those and you are fitted for them properly, yeah, you'll have a great percentage of protection. But for the average person, the paper masks, the cloth masks are a joke. Hold them under some water, guys. Water comes right through them. Water molecules are bigger than COVID molecules. 100 million COVIDs fit on the head of a pin, folks. Your mask doesn't seal on your face. If it sealed on your face, you'd die from lack of oxygen. It could go under, around, through the little tabs behind your ears. It's a feel good. Oh my God, I'm doing something to protect myself from the big bad COVIDs.
But it doesn't really help.
No. Now, and we're not making light of the disease. The disease is serious for the people who get it. But when you think that just a small percentage of Americans have caught it out of the 331 plus million Americans, this is an overreaction to the flu.
Yeah, to the uncommon cold.
Right.
I mean, that's really what it is. Now, we've got just a few minutes left in the show tonight, folks, because we're doing an abbreviated show. We're going to have a lot more for you come Friday.
Right, because many new developments happened today that we need a little bit of time to sift through them and put them together properly.
Now, I want to take just a couple of minutes here and let people that don't live in California know what California is up to today.
Oh, you mean the you're locked up past Christmas?
Yeah. What the hell?
Yeah.
I mean, this goofy governor out there, Newsom, if you go outside, if you gather together, if you stand around and sing Christmas carols or get together with your family, oh my God, are you in trouble in California?
Yeah, ridiculous. Well, you know, I could go even one better. In Staten Island yesterday, a guy that owns a bar restaurant type of establishment. De Blasio had them arrest him because they said that the man is 5'4" tall, very slight build. Two guys dressed in all black. It turned out they were police who never identified themselves as police. Tried to arrest him for being open, for having his establishment open. Even though he was following the guidelines, de Blasio doesn't want any more restaurants, bars, whatever open.
He's just trying to make a living.
Right. He was just trying to make a living. Well, the one of the officers claimed that he came at them with a car, and never mind that he was running on foot, and you can see it in the videos, and that they hit him, hit the officer, and broke his leg. In the meantime, there were many witnesses. The man and the lawyer were on Fox and Friends early this morning. Never mind that the officer, supposedly with the badly broken leg, went over to the police department, spent hours doing his paperwork, doing everything else, kibitzing with all the fellow officers, and then decided, oh, maybe I should go to the hospital and have it checked out. His injuries weren't serious, folks.
Right.
But yet, this guy is in deep doo-doo.
Just
for trying to make a living.
Yeah.
5'4" against two towering guys dressed in black, in the dead of night, who did not identify themselves as police officers.
But see, this is what happens if you violate the liberal COVID code.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, in California, if you violate the code, the police are supposed to arrest you. Now, in L.A., an L.A. County Sheriff, he says, I'm not doing that.
Good.
Okay. He says, nope. We got more important things to do. At least he thought he had more important things to do, because as of today in California, you can be arrested for violating the liberal COVID code, but you will no longer be arrested for the following offenses.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Trespassing, disturbing the peace, or being a minor in possession of alcohol. You will not be arrested. You will not be arrested in California anymore if you're driving without a license, driving on a suspended license, or making criminal threats. You will also not be arrested in California for drug and drug paraphernalia possession, for being under the influence of a controlled substance, for public intoxication, for loitering to commit prostitution, and you will no longer be arrested for resisting arrest.
But, if you don't wear your mask, even in your own home, if you don't social distance, even in your own home, your neighbor can report you if they're spying on you with spy glasses.
And the COVID cops will come to your house and haul you away.
Yes.
I mean, what the hell is going on in California? If you can't be arrested for resisting arrest, what can you be arrested for in that damn state?
That state, they, California and New York, Washington and Oregon, have totally gone off their rockers.
Now,
seriously.
Prosecutors in California came out today and said they will no longer seek the death penalty, and anyone accused of a misdemeanor or a low-level felony will be referred to a community-based program.
Oh, you mean touchy-feely good?
Yes, but they will not be prosecuted.
And you wonder why people are leaving California in droves. However, I think I can speak for most of Florida. We don't want you here unless you leave your liberal politics back in California.
Well, we sure...
We got a great governor here who said he will not close the economy. He will not make masks mandatory. Schools will be kept open. People can go about their daily lives. We don't want you here unless you leave your crap over there.
Well, we sure don't want your rainbow unicorn farting asses here in Nebraska either.
Yeah.
I mean, because around here,
people from Southern California would go up to cold Nebraska.
Yeah, around here, you will be prosecuted for resisting arrest and all these other things.
Here, too.
You know? I mean, minor in possession of alcohol. Not in California. That's okay. Don't wear your mask at the grocery store. You're in trouble.
It's okay if a minor is stinking drunk and gets behind the wheel of a car, I guess.
Right. Even if the minor doesn't have a license, because being a minor in possession of alcohol, driving without a license, driving on a suspended license, those are all non-prosecutable offenses now.
Oh, dear God.
Okay. They could even have a controlled substance with them. They could be under the influence of a controlled substance. They could be drunk in public, and they could be loitering to commit prostitution, and they still won't be prosecuted in California.
You know, if President Reagan was still alive today, remember, he was a California governor, he would just be totally flawed by what has happened to his state.
Can you imagine?
No. No.
I mean,
no.
It's the new liberal normal, folks. I mean, I'll guarantee you this, okay? I'll go this far. I will guarantee you that in about a year's time, elected officials in California will be wondering why their crime rate has gone up so much.
It's already gone up.
Well, but when you stop prosecuting people for the low-level crimes, they'll start committing even higher-level crimes. This is, you know, well, we're going to defund the police. Remember that from this summer?
Oh, yes. Okay.
Well, those cities that did just that, like New York, that cut the police budget, deep cuts, then they sat around and scratched their heads. Well, why are we having such a big crime wave?
Yeah.
Well, dumbass.
You know what?
You defunded the police.
You know what, Craig? I don't feel sorry for those in New York and those in California for one reason. They keep electing the same liberal idiots over and over and over again. So they are now getting what they deserve.
Well, I agree with you, but it's not the people that are going, why is the crime rate so high? It's the same elected liberal idiots that are doing it.
I know.
they're the ones that cut the funding to the police.
Yeah,
they're the ones that are making these prosecutions unprosecutable, and they're going to be the same ones in about a year's time. They're going, why are we having so much crime?
But the people keep voting them in. Over and over and over again.
It's insanity.
It is insanity.
It's absolute insanity. All right, folks. So, look, abbreviated show tonight. We thank you for that. Make sure you come back on Friday, 7 o'clock Eastern time, right here to RSPRadio1.com. We're going to get into the election stuff. We're going to get into the COVID stuff. We're going to get into other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We've been working on articles. We've been putting some stuff together as we steamroll our way toward Christmas.
Yes. And a bit of a break.
I believe our Christmas show is going to be what? December 18th.
December 18th. Yes.
Okay. Then we'll take a couple of weeks off and let whatever happens happen, and we'll be back right after the first of the year, locked and loaded for 2 hour shows.
Right.
And we're kind of looking forward to that. But right now it's like Groundhog's Day. It's the same two things over and over and over and over.
Right. And maybe by the time we come back, maybe the SCOTUS for once will do the right thing and take up this Texas case. I mean, they are going to hear it, but I mean, rule in Trump's favor. But yeah. I'm not going to hold my breath for it.
No sense in doing that. But with that, Diane, we've made it through our abbreviated show. What do you say we just kind of wrap this thing up, call it a night?
Okay. Nighty-night, folks.
Good night, everybody. We'll see you right here on Friday.